The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
And we are back. The second hour is live. A busy first hour with Chris Lowe talking about his recent interview with Brian Harsin. More of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. Sims is up next in Alabama. Hello, Sims.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
All right. So I just wanted to get your opinion on something. I saw an Instagram post the other day listing the top college football media personalities from each school. And your name was next to Alabama, and a lot of the comments were asking about Eli Gold and Greg McElroy, so I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I did see that, and I deeply appreciate the organization putting me at the University of Alabama, although my degree clearly says another school, Tennessee.
Right. I guess my question is, if you had to give Alabama – a top media personality besides yourself, who would be your vote?
Whoa, that is a really interesting. I'm going to go with Eli Gold. I think he is the voice of the Tide, and I think when you think about Alabama football, you think of Eli. So he would get my. I really should not be included in that group. That's pretty obvious. I would put Eli there. Yes.
All right, Paul. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it. Yeah. You take what you get nowadays with the media. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Did I hear you say a few days ago that you were struggling with feet issues? Because I'm concerned.
Yeah. Are you? Can you send me to a good foot doctor?
Paul, I've had Merrells, I've had New Balances, and the last pair I got are Hokas, and I think I've seen you rock a pair of them on like the SEC.
Yes.
The SEC morning show, but I mean them bright blue ones that you used to rock. But them are pretty good. They're expensive, but a man with your cheddar, you can afford them.
Well, yeah, I did. In fact, I have a pair on today, and they're killing me.
I have real flat feet, and I'm on my feet all day because I'm a butcher, and yeah, but I have to have a certain type of shoe. But I mean, them Hokas are pretty good.
Hey, Will, tell me, I'm curious. Tell me about being a butcher. That's one.
Oh gosh, no, it's I'm in the cold all day. It's a family business, so
okay.
I can't talk too bad about it, or my uncle might fire me. But I mean, it's just a job. You're always in the cold, and I mean, you have to deal with the public. The public feels like it's the last time they'll ever buy a piece of meat or something, so they get real particular. But it's
so
just
it's cold.
A job.
It's no. Cold, and you wear the white. Don't you have to wear like something around you?
Yeah, a hat at all times.
Right.
A smock. So yeah, I mean, no, it's just a job, like I said. If it wasn't a family business,
okay. So,
my
question is this: Will, you know, cutting meat all day?
Yeah.
Do you like to eat meat once you get home and get away from it all? Or
I'm definitely not a, certainly not a vegetarian.
Okay.
If so, I would be out of business.
Okay, that's funny. Now I always wondered, like, if you see so, it's like me with sports, and I say
yeah.
This. You know, probably the
no,
last
Paul,
thing I want to do is when I go home is talk
you
about
don't
sports.
Go home and watch the you don't go home and watch Ballerina and stuff. I mean, you're still going to consume sports.
Well, I am going to watch it, but it's not like as soon as I get home do I want to talk about NIL.
No, right, right. No, yeah, I mean, yeah, that wouldn't go over too well with your wife. So I would recommend a man in your age bracket, please don't buy any Air Force Ones like that caller recommended
no,
a few days ago.
I looked at them, and you have to be practical. I think he thought I was still in my 20s, which I appreciate. Hey, thank you. You take care of yourself. A butcher is interesting. I think that would be a fascinating I don't know why I'm always looking for a new profession. Butcher. Paul the Butcher. How about that? Jeremy is in Arizona. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul. So I live in Arizona, and I grew up in Oklahoma City, a town called Morris. I'm a big Sooner fan, but I just moved here from Tennessee. I spent the last 9 years in Tennessee. And I ran around Tennessee seeing all these Alabama fans, and I used to pop off to everybody. It's like, there's more Alabama fans in the state of Tennessee than there are Vols fans in the state of Tennessee. It's like everywhere you went, and I just now were watching your show and realized why that is. You're leading the way.
Okay, so where did you...
graduated from the state of Tennessee. Now it all makes sense.
Where did you live in Tennessee?
Jackson.
Okay, so you're in West Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson is on the, you know, Memphis to, for those who don't know, Jackson's half, about, I'd say halfway between Memphis and Nashville, somewhere around there, maybe a little closer to Memphis. But
yeah, you got like a 30-minute difference. I think you're an hour to Memphis, and then you're a buck and a half to Nashville.
Yeah, I was in. I wasn't far from Jackson about 2 years ago. Where was I? It was in. I spoke at Freed Hardeman College. Do you know where that is?
I do.
Okay.
I did. So
right, really, an amazing night.
I went there for coach.
Yeah, it was. I went there. I spoke at their. I don't know. It wasn't commencement. It was like the athletic commencement or something. But it was a really impressive school. And I was trying to figure out how to get there. And I did. So I chose flying to Memphis, which made more sense. And then I drove over from there, which. But I'm very familiar with Jackson. I almost went to work as an intern one summer at the Jackson newspaper.
Is that right?
Right.
Good grief.
So I went and interviewed for the job, and I do not remember. It's been a couple of years. But I'm very familiar with Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah, so it just came as a big surprise to me. I love being in Tennessee, and I'm like, I'm even kind of proud to say I spent the last 9 years there. But, man, I rode those guys hard. Because
yeah, now you won't get that in East Tennessee, but Memphis and Nashville, you know, what's interesting is I grew up in Memphis, and I was closer where I grew up to the University of Alabama than I was to the University of Tennessee. And I think therein lies the answer to your question. The Tennessee, you have Alabama's fairly close. You have a lot of other schools, Ole Miss, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Arkansas is really not close, but Ole Miss is down the road. And Tennessee is like way on the other side of the world. Growing up in Memphis, Tennessee just didn't seem like a part of what I did because it was too far away.
Yeah, well, it just came as a surprise for me because growing up in Moore, like it was like Sooner Nation.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you're three. Yeah, so once I got to Tennessee and everywhere I looked, there was Alabama everywhere, and I've got to admit, my best friend lives on the Tennessee River in Decaturville. And he is an Alabama fan, and he was just out here visiting.
So you said you grew up in Moore.
Moore, yeah.
Wasn't that
Moore,
where they had Oklahoma. That terrible tornado a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I always say Moore. You know, God hates Moore,
right?
Because he threw two F. You know,
I remember it very well. It was like 8 or 9 years ago, and it was terrible. It was a dreadful tornado. Not that any of them are good.
But. Yeah, my mother still lives there. She went through both of them. There was actually two that hit. One in the 90s, and then one that you're talking about that were. That one and the one going through Joplin are the three biggest ones they had on record. It was a mess. So, you know, I went back to visit my mom and it looked like a war zone.
Yeah, no,
you
it know, terrible, it happened so. This time of the year. I think it was in May. I distinctly remember it, and it was really bad. Hey, thank you so much for the call. We're heading to a break. We have a lot to do on our program. Heather Dinich a little bit later on. We've already talked to Chris Lowe, and we're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, we continue with the great debates, and we've had a lot of reaction to our conversation about Peyton and Charles Woodson. A couple of tweets on the screen talking about Manning. I think ultimately you heard Lowe say that, and this wild and crazy guy alludes to that. It was all about Florida. He was 0-4 against the Gators. And, you know, this one talking about Michigan. Really, the Peyton struggled in that Florida game, and then he never could get momentum. Well, Woodson, as I remember it, came up large against the Buckeyes. Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Steve is up next. Hey, Steve, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I was listening to your show a while back, and I heard Jim from Tuscaloosa on your show, and he was, like, whooping and hollering and speaking in demonic tongues. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And then a couple weeks later, he called in, and he was kind of slurring and stuttering, and your sound guy put that sound that goes like, ooh, and there's a long silence, and you can tell he was getting really upset. But I got an idea how he can help Jim overcome his demons. You can get him down to the studio. Of course, you got to give him some NIL money to get down there. But get him to the studio, bring in a priest, and bring in the one and only legend to perform an exorcism on him. And I think if anybody can beat those demons out of Jim, they have to be legends.
Well, you remember Gene? Jim was he was on with the Archbishop on Good Friday and mentioned that he grew up a Catholic. So, I don't know what the policy is on exorcism, but not a bad idea, I have to tell you. That's one of the better ideas I've heard in a long time. Thank you very much. Brett is in Missouri. You are on the air. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're great. Thank you.
Awesome. I just wanted to call in and say I know I don't want to give you every single Missouri football you take every year. You hear every day about Luther Burden, Paul. Quite honestly, I just wanted to talk about something coming in the air for these Missouri Tigers. We got four offensive linemen returning this year. I mean, one thing I also wanted to get at you today with is every single year these power rankings come out, and you see Missouri at 6, Paul. I mean, we had a quarterback last year who moved around like he was stuck in wet cement, and we somehow scratch off 6 wins. Paul, we have just as many SEC championship visits as half the league, yet every year we come out at this projection at 6. This year, Luther Burden, we got Brady Cook, a hard-working true freshman last year, took a lot of big, meaning ball snaps. And Paul, I'm excited. I want to hear what you got to say.
Brett, I am excited, too. I think Missouri is really trending very very well under Coach Drink. Thank you. Jim is up next.
You know, I really take your crap seriously. I mean, that's outrageous what you just agreed with that food you had on the air. I don't need any exorcism, but you do, Paul. I really believe you're a damn thug like the rest of them. That's how you're acting now.
Jim,
I've been your best man.
You think I need an exorcism?
You know what? I really do. I really do. You've got your demons. There's no doubt about it. You got hate for me. You got hate for anybody that talks on your show that doesn't agree with you. You got hate for Jeff, but you love us all because you know we're good for your show. That was the best segment yesterday he and I had. You know it, and I think you really liked it. Brando tried to get on me about it and said, don't embarrass Paul. I said, how many times has that guy embarrassed me, Timmy B? How many times? Yeah, I think you let these fools on like that fool. Well, you know damn well. I get mad, Paul, but I don't need any exorcism. I need freedom from you is what I need. But I'm so hooked to this show. That's my only major fault, being connected to this show.
Well, Jim, let me say one thing. I do have demons. I will firmly acknowledge
I know you do.
That I have demons in me, and I'm trying to get them out. Any advice?
No, you're not. You're being smart-ass. You're being a smart-ass. You know, you're not serious about that. But I know you do. I know you do.
I have to ask you, how do you know I'm not serious? And secondly, how do you know that I do have demons?
Well, I've had in my past, as a child, I had problems with it. But I got free of those things
through the
blood of Jesus. That's the only way. Paul, okay. you interrupt me. You don't want to hear the truth. You know Warren had the food.
I do.
I just told you, you got to get the blood of Jesus to deliver you from that. And that's not a joke, man. And if you died right now, I'm telling you, I don't know where you'd go, but I'm not, I definitely don't think you'd be upstairs.
Jim, this is not appropriate for a show like this, but let's do it anyway. You feel comfortable that you're moving toward heaven, is that right?
I absolutely do.
And you feel even more comfortable or confident that I'm not. Is that correct?
I can explain why. And you even alluded to that when you said somebody in Birmingham told you about something my brother told him. I had a hard life as a child, Paul, but I got free. I came through it only through the love of God helping me do it. You didn't have that problem, and you haven't had that. So you might fun of people like me.
I have to come back and take some exception to what you said. I'm not going to put my life against yours and what you went through versus what I went through, but I feel like I went through a considerable amount as a young person. I'm not going to bother you with it. You already know it. You know my life history.
You don't know mine, though. You don't know the depth of the problems I went with my parents. I went through with my parents and the Catholic Church that bothered me so much deeply, Paul.
Well, you know what,
you don't
Jim,
know that.
I wish I had had both parents throughout my youth. That would have made my life a little bit easier.
Jim,
I had to grow up very quickly. I couldn't use my youth as a crutch the rest of my life.
Away, Paul. You were almost a man.
I was 15 years old, Jim.
Yeah, I said you were almost a man at 15 when he passed.
But I will tell you, and 15 or whatever it is still a very impressionable age.
Let me tell you this, since you brought that up. My grandmother was a saint, and she literally raised me because I couldn't stand my parents, and they couldn't stand me to some extent. And my grandmother was a pure saint, like our Archbishop, and even more so. And she raised me, and she died at 17. When I was 17, it really, on top of my injury just before that, that destroyed my life.
You're trying to compare losing a grandparent at 17 versus a father at 15? I mean, you're trying to play death poker with me here?
My grandmother was my primary source of being raised, Paul. I promise you. I had more love. I had at least as much or more love and respect and
I was able to overcome that and grow up with the love of my mother and many other people. What happened to you?
I don't know, Paul. Maybe I wasn't as strong as you. I don't know, but I was devastated after the injury I had, lost my career, and I knew what I could do as a ball player. And then my grandmother, it was devastating. For 4 or 5 years, I didn't care about nothing, Paul. I quit school. I didn't care about anything. It's amazing I'm still alive.
And this is all, and Jim, this is because of an injury, right?
Because of an injury, because of what I went through with the Catholic Church as a child, and because of the loss of my grandmother. That all devastated me. I went to psychiatrists when I was a kid because of all this stuff. And they weren't any damn good, I can tell you right now. They weren't any good.
Hey, Jim, on that point, I agree with you completely. We do have some commonality there.
All right, we'll end there. But that fool who called and talked about me needing—you know that ought to make me mad.
Well, Jim,
let me
say this. I think from all—I mean, I knew a little. I know a little bit about your upbringing. I'm not going to say anything that you don't want me to say. I think you've come out okay. You've overcome it. It was a struggle, but you're in good shape. It sounds like
you are. I believe you're right, and I appreciate you saying that. But I believe you're right. I know you're right. But it's been a hard road, Paul. It's been a hard road.
Well, I'm glad you got through it. And I learned something about you today that I didn't know. And by the way, when it comes to your grandmother, I wasn't trying to minimize her impact because a lot of people are raised by their grandmother.
Her impact was absolutely powerful for me, especially at the time I was going through with the things I was going through in the Catholic Church and my daddy and things he taught me or tried to teach me that I knew were not godly. Knew that. I mean, I know there's a wonderful bunch of Catholics, but a lot of them are deceived, Paul. I can promise you that.
Well, why don't we leave it there? Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thank you. Yeah.
Pope Francis on line one. We are coming right back with much more. Heather Dinich as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. Our next guest, Heather Dinnage, burning up a lot of air miles these days. She is currently at the, if I get this right, at the Pac-12 meetings. She's been around a number of other meetings. Heather, great to have you on. So where are you and what's going on?
Well, thanks, Paul. I'm in Scottsdale, and I am technically at the Fiesta Bowl Spring Summit. So it's not just the Pac-12, it's the Big Ten, it's okay. The Big 12, the Mountain West, a lot of football coaches, basketball coaches from all those conferences, athletic directors, commissioners. Basically, it's one-stop shopping for a lobby lurker.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure because I was trying. I think it may be seemingly a little bit early, although not that much. I read where you or tweeted where you ran into Jim Harbaugh. Can you... That would be a scary encounter, but you're a lot more popular among coaches than I am.
Well, it was nice to see him. I'm telling you, everybody is refreshed. I mean, Sark was on a golf cart this morning at 7:30 when I walked in. You know, Harbaugh was walking in with his wife. Brent Venables is here. Harbaugh was eating lunch at the same place Adam Rittenberg and I were outside. And it's just everybody's undefeated. Everybody's relaxed. Everything's good, and people are in good spirits, but there are a lot of heavy topics here weighing on the shoulders of athletic directors.
Let's start with an interview you and Rittenberg did with Kevin Warren. He's not somebody that does a lot of schmoozing or hasn't in the past. What did you learn from talking to him?
Well, the biggest and the first question that I had for him was the status of the Big Ten's TV deal, because it's coming up. It's, you know, reportedly going to be blockbuster. They're very excited about it. And he said he's got laser vision on it. And within the next 30 days, he expects to really hone in on the details of exactly what it is. And his line was that he wants to target an audience from 5 to 105. So he wouldn't get into specifics of money figures and if there's one or two networks or whatever he's doing, but he rattled off a laundry list of networks. Everyone from ESPN, Fox, CBS, NBC, Apple and Amazon, you know, you name it, they're talking to, because he said we want to be smart, they want to be cutting edge, and that's really the focus. And I just have a feeling, Paul, that once the Big Ten works that out, a lot of other things will start to fall into place and questions answered as far as, divisions, you know, college football playoff expansion, you name it.
And I know the Big 12 is represented. They've had conversations, and the Oklahoma-Texas thing hangs over them. I read something today about the American dealing with its exiting people. Anywhere in all this, and I'm going to get to NIL in a minute, is there an Oklahoma-Texas conversation about when or if they could exit the Big 12 earlier?
Status quo as far as what I'm hearing right now. People have to remember there are exit fees, and legally involved in all of this, so it's not easy to just walk away. We were at the CFP meetings in Dallas last week, and, you know, Mike Oresko told us that they still haven't worked out a specific deal for the other three schools to leave and come to the Big 12. So all of those are still kind of moving parts and in the air, but I can tell you that Kalani Sitake's here, BYU is here, so the four schools joining the Big 12 have been in those meetings, and when they start to talk about something about the future of the conference without Texas and Oklahoma, those athletic directors leave the room.
And Heather, let's get to what everyone is talking about, and that's the current state of college athletics. So there's a search on for a new NCAA president. There are NIL questions. There are tampering allegations. Put it all in a nice, neat package, if possible.
Putting it in a neat package is like throwing it on a blender and putting it on high speed, because that's kind of what it looks like right now, a big sloppy mess. Everyone I talk to, no one wants to be a NCAA president. I asked them seriously, hey, is this something you would want to consider? And people literally take three steps back, put their arms out and say, no, thank you. Not me. You know, the Big 12 commissioner is an extremely important position that, you know, I'm hearing around here they would like to figure out by media days, which is probably around July. Nobody is saying whether or not it's going to be for sure a university president or someone outside the box, but there's a lot of hope from people that I talk to that it's somebody who understands all those other things that you mentioned that's going on in college athletics, and also somebody who understands what's going on with the college football playoff and those discussions. So I think there's a bit of a sense of urgency there, though I'm not entirely convinced there's a short list for candidates right this second.
Yeah, because there are two openings. So let me ask you about NIL, and, you know, it's a topic here every day, but, you know, the people that you are encountering can, I don't know if they can do much about it, but they at least can do more about it than we can. What are you hearing, and is there any solutions or alternatives being discussed on all of these issues that is going to make the sport more manageable than it currently is?
No, there are no solutions that I'm hearing in terms of NIL. You know, people are pointing fingers in different directions saying, oh, the Football Oversight Committee needs to figure it out. The commissioners need to figure it out. The NCAA needs to figure it out. And it's just this kind of circle of, well, nobody knows what anybody else is doing or supposed to be doing. Before I got on the phone with you, I talked to Todd Berry, the executive director of the Football Coaches Association, because they had a meeting here, and he said one thing that they are proposing is two windows for the transfer portal. The first would lead into the early signing period, and the second window would be around April 15th, and that would be two windows to enter your name into the portal, not necessarily decide a school. So they're hoping that will help things. I asked why 4 years ago those transfer windows weren't approved, and Todd said that because there was a sense among some people that it was too restrictive. Well, now they want two transfer portal windows. He said they also want to scrap the 25 scholarships in terms of the initials, and just however you need to get to 85, go ahead and get there. That was another thing that the coaches were talking about.
Heather Denich, out in the sun. We envy you, Heather, to have such a tough assignment. Sit by the pool and interview administrators and coaches.
It's a good gig. I can't lie. At least today it is. It's a nice lobby.
Yeah, it is. Heather, always great to catch up. See you soon. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Paul.
You got it. Heather Denich out there in Scottsdale on a mid-spring afternoon where it's probably close to 100 out there. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. We continue with more phone calls here. And let's check in with Jimmy in Ohio. Hello, Jimmy.
Hello. What's up, Paul?
Hey there. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Well, wonderful.
I got a question for you.
Shoot.
Heather, what's her last name?
Dinich.
Yes. She says Ohio State's going to national championship. What do you think about that against Alabama?
I think it's a real possibility. I think Ohio State is positioned, and they've got the quarterback, they've got the receivers.
They've got to fix their defense a little bit.
Well, that's why they got a new coordinator, but I think it's entirely possible. Thank you. I appreciate your call. Bob is in Tennessee. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Paul. I've been going over this deal about a 12-team playoff.
Yes.
About how it's going to be fair to every team. It just can't happen, Paul. Not without giving somebody some breaks that other teams don't get. Here's why. If you have a 12-team playoff, the first session is six games. You have six losers and six winners. The next game, you have 3-3. What happens the next time?
Well,
you can't have a three. Bob,
I believe
what
I believe the solution to that is to give several schools a first round bye.
And that, so no team has a fair chance of getting to the finals. Not when you give a bye.
Well,
one team is going to play fewer
Bob,
games.
But if
than
you look at
team.
If you look at the NFL model. There are at least two, maybe four schools, four teams, I think, have first-round buys. So that's just part of what you spend the entire year working toward.
I'm talking about being fair in college. Buys aren't going to cut it. You can't make one team play four games and another team play three games and call that fair. It's not.
Well, the original model – which was shot down, called for a home field the first round or the second, first and second round, I believe, at least the first round, to be played at home sites. So, but on the other hand, should the number 12 team have the same advantages as, the number one and number two seeds deserve something for having a superior season?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't.
Well,
it's a playoff. And look, you can have a playoff with two teams, four teams, eight teams, and 16.
Well, here's the good news, Bob. They are currently not working on a 12-team playoff, so that is an issue that will be put off and postponed for the future. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Shad is in Oklahoma. You're on the air. Hello, Shad.
Yes, I was wondering what you think or your take on the new Oklahoma staff versus the Lincoln Riley staff. I think they brought in a pretty good bunch of coaches, and I think they'll do probably in the long term better than what they have at Lincoln. I just want your take on it.
Shad, I always felt with considering the talent that Lincoln had, and we all know what that was, he slightly underperformed. He never really threatened to win a national championship. I think Venables is got a really good staff. He's got some great people that are even off the field. Thad Turnipseed is his chief of staff, and he formerly worked for not only Dabo Sweeney but Nick Saban. And it's just a matter of how he adjusts. Everyone that knows him says he is ready for this moment, and we won't know that until he does it. But he's got I think overall they're in pretty good shape.
I guess my last input would be that the strength coach left when Lincoln took over the program and then came back. So that kind of says something about the faith of accountability on the team, in my opinion. So
I don't know. There are always reasons why individuals do certain things. So appreciate your call very, very much. Let's check in with John, who is in Alabama. Hello, John.
How you doing, Paul? This is Bama John. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I hope you don't hang up on me like you usually do.
Mm.
But anyway, I want to talk to you about the NIL. I think we're just making too much of it than it really is, because it's all based on winning, isn't it? You got to win to get the money.
No, you don't. Not necessarily, Bama John. You're getting players. They're getting the money before they show up.
Yeah, they get money before they show up, but it's not. You know, the best you're gonna get out of it is not a loan. It's maybe two or three years at the, maybe five at the most, right? So they're not gonna. There's not no long term, no like lifetime or you know like a career type thing, you know.
Well, no, it's not. But ultimately. Nothing is. Yeah. I don't know too many people that have, unless you're born to money, you have. I don't know too many people that have a sure thing. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Cheerleader is next.
Hey, Paul, it's been a while. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I've got two things to just comment on before I ask you a question. But, Heather, I could understand and follow what she was saying about what she was reporting on. I don't think that anybody knows what the solution is. Good Lord, I hope somebody will come up with something, but it surely won't be me. But I enjoyed her segment of what she did. And to Jim, Paul, I just think Jim is an angry person from some things that may have happened to him. I don't know him, that he cannot get over. And Jim, if you could get that anger out of you, I know there's a really good man, inside there. And but when you call your anger, that's what comes through. Now the question that I called about, Paul, was, are you going to come to the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame?
I don't know.
Birmingham.
Yeah, I know. I was in Alabama the other day for something. I'm going to be there again next week.
And, wow.
And
we didn't run into each other, and that's okay.
I'm surprised because I was in Mountain Brook. I can't believe I didn't see you.
Were you at Starbucks?
No, I was at the Bohemian.
Oh, I like that place.
Yeah, and then
I
did an event at the nearby club, country club.
Well, you know, was it all men there? Or
no, it was it was couples night.
Oh, that sounds good. Well, I'm going to go to the Hall of Fame with Coach Conyers' daughter.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because Eddie Conyers is being honored. And I continue to forget to tell our guys, which I'm going to do right. We have to get Eddie Conyers on the show. He's going into the Alabama Horse Sports Hall of Fame. He's called many times as a caller. He's 92 years old. And he's one of the funniest, greatest stories of all time. So you did me a big favor today by reminding me of that. It's this weekend.
I'm so glad. And his daughter invited me to sit at their table.
Okay, well.
So I don't know.
I am so happy to hear that. Thanks, Shirley.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.